Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Magic mirror on the wall, who is the fairest one of all? Well, you may be fair or dark or somewhere in between. Wait, what? Is that a pimple? Is that a dry spot? Could it be sunburn? Yes, it most certainly could be. We all look forward to summer weather, but sometimes we forget about summer skin care. And for tonight's Medical Monday, we're telling you what you need to know to keep your skin healthy during the warm and humid months. My guest is Dr. Melanie Macklin, research and development dermatologist. Lines are open if you have comments or questions about summer skin care at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Dr. Macklin, good to talk to you again.
Yes, thank you, Harold, for having me. And this is such a wonderful topic. I love everything about the summer, and so does a lot of people, but we gotta keep that skin looking right.
Exactly. And see, you are one of the fair ones because you are
in between.
Right, well, more like butter pecan.
Caramel.
Like caramel. Yeah, the whole bit. Well, we're going to talk about the butter pecan, the caramel, the dark chocolate, all of the skincare tones that black people come in. But let me ask you this. What do you believe is the biggest mistake that black people make regarding skincare for during the summer months?
Oh my goodness, Harold, this is the question, that's the issue. Oh gosh, not wearing sunscreen. We think because we come in the butter pecan to the vanilla and to the chocolate, that we think that we are avoidance of being able to get any type of skin cancer, and that's contrary to popular belief. We do get skin cancer, Harold, and it's very important that everybody walking, no matter what your complexion is to wear a sunscreen of at least SPF, which stands for sun protected factor, of at least 30. We've upped that now in the new guidelines because we used to just say 50, but honestly, I mean 15, but it's honestly 30 now. And it's critical that we apply that daily. And they come in tinted moisturizers so that you don't look so pasty. So the industry is applying that to our races now, which is wonderful.
So here's the thing. A lot of people associate summer skin care with heat and sunburn with heat, but it really isn't so much the heat, is it?
It's not necessarily the heat, it's the sun. That sun is beaming down on that skin, especially during the prime hours of the day, which is 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. So I know we like to be in the pool and at the beach, and we like to go to the cookouts during those time frames, but they can actually be exceptionally harmful to the skin system. So I tell folks this, if you have to be out during those prime hours with direct sun exposure, and you're not having on your hat or light protective skin, clothing, you want to have that sun block, sunscreen, some sort of sun protected lotion in your bag to reapply at least every 2 hours. And you may, especially if you're swimming or if you're sweating a lot, because you want to make sure that product stays adhered to the skin. So it's very critical to reapply if you're sweating and that heat is making you just really have all kind of sweat bubbles coming up on your skin. You want to make sure to reapply that often so that you're still staying protected. But we have to use a sunscreen, Harold. It's very important.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. It's our Medical Monday conversation. We are talking about taking care of the skin you're in during the hazy, hot, humid summer months. If you have a comment about taking care of your skin during the summer, give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. You know, last week in the DMV, and indeed the entire Northeast, we were all impacted by, you know, by the haze from the Canadian wildfires. Yeah. We saw orange skies in New York. We, for some of us, we could smell it. We could taste it. What impact do you believe those couple of days had on our skin? Obviously, it did block the sun, but it's still probably not healthy for any part of your body, including your skin.
Well, it was especially not healthy for our respiratory system, because especially for folks out there that have any sort of allergies or asthma or any type of inflammatory lung issues, they were really having it, I'm sure, exceptionally in a bad place, which we encourage those folks to stay inside and not to go outside at all. We'll stay inside, rather. But as far as, like, you know, the particulates in the air from whatever the haze was delivering, that I'm sure deposited on our skin. I want to say this. It's very important that, you know, when you go outside, you getting exposed to the environmental elements, the dust in the air, the particulates, the haze particles that were erupting and so forth, you want to wash these things off when you get home, because the skin is the largest organ, and it has all of these open pores, which means that any exposure that your skin is getting, these things are settling in the skin and could potentially cause reactions, just like you were saying earlier, Harold. So I encourage folks, when they've been out and about, get home and shower and wash that stuff off. And especially your face it has some of the thinnest skin, and boy, it can show up with a lot of reactions there. So we want to make sure when we're out in these elements, when we get home, we want to wash it off, and then you just feel better before you go to sleep anyway.
Yeah. How much sunscreen is too much sunscreen, if there is such a thing?
Well, you know, that's a great question, Harold, because you can overuse to the point where you can cause skin irritation, because sunscreens are made of chemicals. You've got the mineral-based sunscreens that actually physically block sun, but those are like the white pasty ones that, you know, that has like the zinc oxide and the titanium dioxide, I believe. But then you have some other chemical-based sunscreens that just kind of like block the UV. But either way, when you overuse anything, you can have potential for causing adverse effects on those skin. So let's follow the directions that's on the packaging. You know, different product companies have different directions. And if you notice, it's important for me to say this, because allergic reactions to sunscreens is can very well happen. So if you apply that sunscreen, especially if you're applying something to your face and you notice your face starting to itch or some sort of red rash or just some sort of uncomfortability on any part of that skin, immediately stop use. But write down the ingredients that was in that sunscreen, so that then when you go select another one, you're not picking up the one that has those same chemicals in there. And more importantly, if you can't figure that out, then, you know, you can talk to the pharmacist at the store that you're picking the product up from, or call your doctor. But it's important for you to recognize those potential allergens for future, you know, to avoid for the future.
Let me go to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. It's a Medical Monday conversation. We are talking about taking care of the skin you're in during the summer months. Let's talk to Sandra calling from Virginia. Sandra, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I have a question, because my doctor said that I was low in vitamin D, and they gave me some vitamin D supplements, and then they also say that you need to stay out in the sun, you know, try to get as much sun as possible. But I've never been, I've never had that problem before. So my question is, can medications or different, like diabetes or something, affect your vitamin D level?
Oh, that's a great question, Sandra, because indeed there's so many aspects of our life that can affect our vitamin D levels. But one of the main things is when we're not getting enough sun exposure, which can cause those lower vitamin D levels. So to a degree, a little bit of sun is okay, because it's the sun that hits the skin that allows the vitamin D to be produced in the body. But of course, we have all of these, you know, stay out of the sun, stay out of the sun. And as a result, we have a lot of folks walking around with low vitamin D. But we can increase those levels, like what you're doing with your vitamin D supplementation. But I would make sure to follow your doctor's guidance, because vitamin D is one of those what we call fat-soluble vitamins, which means that when you start taking it, it can stay in the fat parts of your body for a couple of years. So you don't want to overdose on vitamin D. So you want to, you know, make sure to get your doctor's guidance there. But you're absolutely right that, you know, a lot of things in our life can cause lower vitamin D, but staying out in the strong sun to get that, to increase vitamin D, can be harmful as well. But in little doses, it's okay, especially if you're using your sunscreen and having on your light protective clothing.
Okay.
Wonderful.
Sandra, thank you so much for your phone call. Good luck to you. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. This is our Medical Monday. We're talking about skin care during the summer months, how to protect it. Visha calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling, Visha. What's on your mind?
Whenever I go to the beach, I always get that sun rash, even if I put on sunscreen. Is there anything you recommend?
Well, I would also say this. Thanks for your question, Visha. I would suggest talking to your doctor about that to make sure that there's not any sort of other sun rashes that could just be emerging from your system. Although it's quite common what you're describing, but when we think about a constant face rash that comes up when you're out in the sun, we still want to make sure to take that next level of protection to just get an evaluation to make sure that nothing else is going on. But I still want you to make sure to wear that sunscreen and still protect that skin, and also try to avoid those peak sun hours that I mentioned earlier, which is at 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. That's the highest peak sun hours. So if you can avoid doing that time, and then be cute, wear one of your big hats, and you can still have on your beach wear, but have the hat, at least that can give you extra protection on your face and some nice fabulous sunglasses as well.
Visha, before I let you go, where is the rash and what does it look like?
I usually get it whenever I'm at the beach, like for a long time, a few days, and I'll get it on my shoulders and my back.
Mm-hmm. And what does it look like?
It starts blistering kind of and very itchy.
Oh, okay. So then you are in the sunburn category. When you start, so you probably haven't been applying enough of your sunscreen, and you probably would do better with the more extensive sun blocks. And that will be a little bit more protected. And go for the higher SPF. Look for the highest numbers possible, especially because those are really exposed areas on your shoulder and your back. And once again, if you can avoid those peak times, Visha, that's even better. But I know we like those hot times, because that's when we feel everything is feeling great. But we first don't want to do any further harm.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well, Visha, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're taking your questions about protecting the skin you're in during the summer months. It's our Medical Monday conversation. Stay with us. Don't forget, lines are still open up until 8 o'clock. We are going to take a quick break, but I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. We'll continue this conversation in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue tonight's Medical Monday conversation, telling you what you need to know to keep your skin healthy during the warm and humid months. My guest is Dr. Melanie Macklin. She's a research and development dermatologist. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Malika calling from Odenton. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. My question is, what do you do when you've been in the sun and you tan, but I didn't burn, but it's a year later almost, and my skin has not evened out?
You mean your color has not returned?
Yes.
Wow, I've never heard of that before.
And my wristwatch has left sort of like a, I do wear my watch every day. So that, the skin on my watch, where my watch is, it's a different tone than everything else.
Are the areas, thanks for your question, Malika. So the areas are darker in those areas that were affected, or are they lighter?
Lighter.
They're lighter in the areas where they're darker.
They're dark, right.
So what you're saying let me make sure that I can, Malika, let me see if I can clarify this. So you're saying that you were you are a shade or two darker after spending time in the sun last year. Your natural color, the lighter color, has not returned. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. And this is what we call post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation. Post just means after the event that has happened, which means after the sunburn, we can get areas that are darker, and they can last for a long period of time where we need to end up maybe having to get some sort of consultation on lightening creams and those type of products. But it's certainly something that can be fixed, and it would just be a matter of you going to your doctor, preferably a dermatologist that could evaluate the areas and be able to prescribe you some creams to be able to get that color back in order. Because you also, you know, there's some inflammation that still may be in the skin there as to why the color is not coming back to normal. It could be any number of things, but no major worries, because it's fixable, and that's the great part. I don't know where you are in the area, but my Howard University alumni at the Department of Dermatology, they are always happy to see cases like what you're describing. Mm. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Well, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Leslie calling from Woodbridge, Virginia. Leslie, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, there are some sunscreen and some blocks that were recalled because of chemicals in them that may cause cancer. And I want to know that, the sunblock that is good for us that will not cause cancer.
Yeah, that's a tough one, Leslie, because the chemicals that are in the sunblock products a lot of chemicals have been leaked to various forms of cancer. So we just have to kind of do our own due diligence and looking at whatever that product is, and looking at maybe some products that are more natural based. I mean, there's so many different varieties out here right now, but if that's a major concern for you, then definitely you want to also make sure that you're wearing protective clothing. Hats, lightweight cotton clothing, long sleeve, even though I know it's hot. But if you're not going to be able to use the products because of that caution and concern that you're having, you still just want to make sure that you're protected. But I would definitely look at the different manufacturers, look at the different chemicals, and do your own homework there and to be able to make the best decision for yourself. But you're absolutely right. We do have to be cautious with these chemicals that we're applying or ingesting in our bodies.
Okay. Thank you very much, ma'am.
Thank you.
Yes.
One of the things that I'm sure a lot of people are concerned about when it comes to protecting your skin and may, as Leslie expressed some concern about, you know, cancer-causing products. Are there any natural products that, that perhaps can be used to help, you know, retard the impact of the sun, or is that just too high risk of a thing to do?
Right. That's on our wish list, Harold. We wish there were something more natural to act as a sunblock sunscreen as far as topical products are concerned. I think the best way in that matter, from a natural perspective, is avoiding the sun. You know, of course, that's very tough to do. But then the other natural way is so many companies out here are making sun protective clothing, from the hats and all these things that I've been mentioning, even, you know, UV related makeups to block out sun. So, you know, we understand that there is that that risk when you're, you know, applying any chemical or ingesting any chemical. And some of these things are to be determined what type of adverse effects that they're going to cause on us. So, you know, you have to weigh the risk versus the benefit. And if we know that we have that concern, then, hey, look, then we're just going to have to avoid the sun as much as possible, you know, and that's just like that's the tough love. It's trying to, you know, avoiding the sun or wearing the protective clothing. So that's a personal assessment that someone has to do. But more importantly, you want to make sure that you are protected if you do go out in the sun.
I remember I went to, I went to the Dominican Republic, or I guess it was around 2016 or so. And I got a real lesson in the impact of the sun, because here in the DMV and really in the United States around big cities, there is a great deal of pollution. You know, there is smog. We may not necessarily pay that much attention to it if we are living in it day in and day out. But, you know, particularly in the Caribbean, where there is very little pollution, if any. And I remember I had a hat on, and I took my hat off, and I walked out into the sun onto the beach, and I literally felt my scalp, because, you know, I shaved my head. I felt my scalp burning. I mean, it was immediate. And I think that was a lesson, because it again, it's not the brightness of the sun. It really has to do with the intensity of the ultraviolet rays.
Yeah. And Harold, you make me think of another important point to bring up, because a lot of us don't think about it, and some people that have heard me on other segments, but I'm always talking about the fact that we neglect the fluorescent lights that are in the office places that we work, or schools. The fluorescent lights emit ultraviolet rays and can still be damaging to the skin, which is why whether or not you are outside in the sun or inside, the importance of wearing some sort of daily sunscreen, because you can still be affected sitting at your cubicle with the fluorescent office lights. And it's something that we should definitely remember, because it's not often talked about. But just you sitting at your office can make you risk. And I'd like to take this time really quickly to also speak of, you know, only about 1 in 100,000 or so African Americans get melanoma a year. And that's where, you know, it looks like, you know, irregular shape, you know, brown to dark, or even black colored, you know, mold that you will see on your body. But when we get that, Harold, we get it in covered areas and in what we call acral areas of our body. So it might be in our ear or behind our ear. It may be on our scalp, underneath our hair. It may be underneath our fingernail, on the bottom of our feet. Just odd places. But when we get melanoma, it's usually not diagnosed until late, because we're not looking throughout someone's scalp, which is the important point of trying to visit your dermatologist at least once a year and having a full body check to look for these type of things, because if we do get melanoma, it can be very aggressive, and it's one of the deadliest forms of skin cancer. So we have all, you know, nationalities, we have to be careful, because we can get skin cancer no matter how light or dark our skin is, and we just have to pay attention. So that's an important point I wanted to share as well with your audience, Harold, that we do get skin cancer, and when we get it, it's usually melanoma, and when we get that, it can be in pretty bad shape. So we have to be careful.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. It's a Medical Monday conversation. We are talking about skin care during the summer months, how to protect your skin during these hazy, hot, humid, and bright sunny days. Give us a call if you have a comment or a question. So I also wanted to talk about, you know, those of us who have, you know, prominent features, mostly, you know, face, you know, black people, you know, some of us have larger lips than others. We have wider noses than others. Some of us have high foreheads. I know that when we see, you know, lifeguards, for example, many of them who are not black, they may have prominent noses and they have this white sunblock on their nose. Talk to me about protecting your face, whether it be lips or nose or forehead.
Yes, well, definitely, Harold, the face has some of the thinnest skin on our body, so we have to really protect that. The white paste that you're describing is what we call one of those mechanical sunscreens. And what I mean by that, it means that the zinc oxide and or the titanium dioxide chemical that's in those paste is what physically blocks the sun from even getting through that skin. So they're actually as the best form of sunscreen, sunblock, because it just blocks the UV rays altogether. But not everybody wants to walk around with that white paste on their nose or forehead or whatever have you, you know, for the unattractive, you know, nature that it can be. But it is physically protective.
Mm-hmm.
So it's our face. If you know that you're prone to getting sunburn, then that just may be the best route for you. Or even if you know that you're allergic to some of the chemicals that's used in the topical other sunscreens, then you may have to resort to the white paste type. I know there are some companies out there now that are catering towards African-American skin that come with a non-white residue, which, you know, kudos off to those companies that did that, because, you know, like I said, we're people, we are concerned about how we look on the beach or wherever. So there are some companies that have developed products that physically block the sun but don't have that white residue. So,
what about protecting your lips? Will chapstick do it?
Well, we still, okay, so the excellent question, because the lips are what we call, doesn't have a keratin, doesn't have that top skin layer on our lips like the rest of our body does. So our lips are even more sun sensitive. And if you notice, a lot more folks will get their lips burned if they're not wearing anything on their lips, and that they will burn first. So to your point, definitely having some sort of sunscreen, lip balm is very critical to be able to prevent that. So they come in all types of you know, flavors and scents or whatever have you, but that's important to protect those lips.
I want to talk about some skincare issues unrelated to sun care, to sun protection. Is humidity bad for the skin?
Humidity is actually a form of hydration for the skin. So when we're out in a humid. Humidity means, you know, moisture in the air. And this is actually a good time to point out the fact of the importance of hydration. It's so easy to get dehydrated in these hot summer months. And a lot of us are running around and we're not thinking about it. Oh, I don't like water. I don't like water. Well, you can mix half water, half lemonade, half water, half orange juice. But folks, we've got to get in the water in our system, because that dehydration can not only cause more physical damage and cause you to pass out, you know, you end up with, you know, wrinkled skin, dried up looking skin. So humidity is actually good, Harold, because it retains that moisture in the skin. But nothing is better than water. You know, half of your body weight, an ounce of water, is a good rule of thumb to follow. And even more water is needed than that during the summer months. And especially if you're out at the beach or some sort of direct sun, you're definitely going to have that water, because dehydration is not fun, especially not along with the side effects. Mm-hmm. So water, water, and more water is my favorite thing to say to folks.
I don't know about your mother, but I know mine used to, when I was a kid, and this was usually during the cooler months, you know, put, you know, Vaseline, you know, petroleum jelly on on my skin. And, you know, she did it with my sister, and everybody else in the neighborhood did the same thing. But I know recently there have been reports that have called the use of petroleum jelly into question on the skin. What are your thoughts about that?
Yes, well, petroleum jelly, the trade name Vaseline, and a whole bunch of other names, but it's a heavy ointment that can clog the skin pores. So, you know, especially if we're applying that to our face. So back in the day, it might have been cute for our mothers or grandmothers to slather our face with Vaseline so we don't look so ashy going to school, but they didn't realize that that was probably causing the acne that we were developing. So definitely petroleum-based products will clog the skin pores and can cause rashes. But in the wintertime, Harold, I actually suggest using that during the wintertime, especially because, you know, the skin gets a little dried out with the heating systems in the homes and things of that nature. But petroleum definitely can cause some issues, but it can be used with care, with caution.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not so bad, but we want to be extra careful on applying that petroleum-based products to the face.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of folks use this petroleum-based products that folks are using in their hair, and if their hair is hanging down on their face, then now we've created some acne issues. So we just have to be careful. But if it's in the first five ingredients of whatever product that you're using, then you can bet your bottom dollar a good portion of that product has petroleum. So I always advise people, Harold, to look at the back of labels and see what the first five ingredients are. And if it has petroleum in the first five ingredients, then you know that's a product that you just want to be cautious on using too much of, and especially try and avoid that off of your face.
So let me ask you about moisturizers, because...
Yes.
I remember growing up, one of the big ones was Oil of Olay. And then, you know, of course, Jergens was good. And then, we've got Eucerin. And now when you go out to the, you know, these summer events, there's always a brother or sister out there selling, you know, shea butter. What do you recommend? I mean, if you have quote-unquote normal skin that is not particularly sensitive and you want it to remain... moist. What do you recommend? I mean, are these the Oil of Olay's, Eucerin, Jergens, those commercial products, and also Clinique and Estee Lauder? I mean, I could run them all down. Everybody's, and some of them you can get in the drugstore for $5 to $10, and then you've got $70 creams. And
right, and they're probably the same ingredients, just different labeling, Harold.
So would you say that is the case? I mean...
Oftentimes, Harold, it is. I separate moisturizers for folks to say, okay, I need a separate moisturizer for my face differently than what I use on my body. Because once again, face is very thin skin, and there's a lot of ingredients that are in body lotions that if you apply to your face, you're going to have clogged pores, and you're likely going to develop acne, you know, acne-like reactions and other irritations on that facial skin. So when you're looking at moisturizer in the stores, which are hundreds, you would look, okay, I need something for my face, which should be a moisturizer with at least that SPF of 30 in there. And then you're going to look for a separate separate body lotion. Now, during the summertime, you may not need one for your body, okay, because the natural oils and so forth are going to be able to kind of keep that body moisturized. And sometimes your soap or cleansing products alone have some sort of hydrating product in there. So during the summertime, you may not want to have all that sticky lotion and so forth. You may, of course, you want to make sure to get the ash off of those elbows and those knees and those feet, especially, Harold. We got to keep those feet.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that next, but go ahead.
That's one of our favorite topics. Right?
Yes, the crusty, rusty dusties.
But, yeah, so, you know, moisturizing is key, but moisturizing for face is important for the summertime because your moisturizer will easily encompass that SPF in there. So at least you know that face is protected. But as far as the body, Harold, I mean, sometimes you don't have to use anything. And, you know, whatever you like, I love as far as whatever, because there are tons and tons of products in the market base. But a lot of these heavy body butters, maybe a little bit too heavy for the summertime. Great mm-hmm. for the wintertime, but they you know too much of that during the summertime, we might be causing some other unnecessary rashes. Mm.
Okay, so let's go back to the feet, and you know, from heel to toe.
Yes.
How do we prevent the crusty, rusty, dusty, ashy, not classy feet?
Right. Well, most of that ashy and thing and other signs that we see on our feet that may not be so attractive is because our feet have tons, especially the soles of our feet, are thick skin layers. So oftentimes it's because that skin has not been exfoliated to be able to remove all of those old dead skin cell layers to unveil the fresh new skin that's below. So I encourage a regular, you know, pedicure. You know, guys, get out there and get a pedicure. They're not that expensive these days, or you could just do a home foot soak. There's a lot of foot creams out there that have either salicylic acid in there, urea. You can go to any of the foot care aisles and pick up one of those foot creams and apply that at bedtime for, one or two weeks, and you'll start seeing a lot of those old dead skin layers exfoliating off. I would err with caution on using some of those handheld kind of foot scrubbers and with the razor blades, and especially if someone has any sort of like nerve disorder in their feet, if they're diabetic, those can cause major issues. You know, I had a girlfriend that was doing that to one of the corns on her feet, and it's with sad information that she ended up having so much bad infection in there, they had to do a below-the-knee amputation on her. So I share that because we really do have to be careful when it comes to our feet, and oftentimes we don't think about it. We just get out that exfoliant. We're so busy trying to get, you know, nice, smooth feet, and we can shave off too much of that skin, get an infection. The infection gets in the bloodstream, and then now we have a bigger problem.
So is it better to use a heavier, as you mentioned earlier, like a body butter on the feet, as opposed to just, I mean, granted,
the creams that have the ingredients that can help to dissolve, if you will, some of those old dead skin layers instead of using the mechanical tools.
Yeah. And I would imagine, too, you know, a lot of times people who do that may, and this is a guess, that they probably are not as attentive to their feet, and then all of a sudden, you know, they decide to do that, as opposed to someone who is meticulous about that.
Yes. Or even just going to a professional, person that can really pay close attention. For oftentimes, you can't reach some of those areas as well either. But either way, we do have to be cautious when it comes to those to the feet.
Yeah, well, those of us who can't reach, that's another show. But do some stretching and eating less. But
that is very true. And the stretching, even some of the smaller folks can still not stretch and still not touch their toes.
That's right. It's not too late to do some warm ups and try to stretch it out. In these last few minutes, I would like to hear your thoughts about, and this goes back to the skin on your face, women who use, you know, makeup, and look, yeah, I'm not telling them not to do it, but, you know, look, they use makeup, they like it, lipstick, concealers, all of that stuff, and look, you do, so you know about this. What advice?
Yes, well, we ladies love to have our glamour,
right?
But there's, you know, I say that it comes depending on where you're going and what you're doing. I don't feel that if we're going to the beach or to work out, we have all of this full fledged concealer and foundations, because all that's doing is clogging up our pores more. I mean, the cosmetic companies, you know, of course, are making the makeups now without any oil in there, reducing the risk of those pores clogging. But if you pile up enough of anything on that thin facial skin, you may have a problem. So I say be mindful of where you're going. You know, if you're going out in the evening, that's one thing. But if we're going out and we're in the sun and we're at the pool and at the beach, and that sun and these products and clogging the pores, we're asking for troubled skin, especially facial skin. So we can still have all that lovely stuff, but just using it in moderation. Matter of fact, during the summertime, I say, look, you know, if you want to wear makeup daily, you don't have to wear the heavy foundations on a daily basis. There's so many beautiful, like, lightweight bronzers or face powder, because I am a proponent now, Harold, of protecting those pores with a powder every day. And I say for teens to start doing that early, because that whatever elements that are outside that get trapped in the skin, they get washed off in the sink with the powder at the end of the night. So they are not able to absorb through that skin. So I encourage, you know, girls in their early teens to start wearing some sort of lightweight powder after they put on their moisturizer, because it's going to block all the mess that's outside in the environmental elements, and it washes off in the sink instead of absorbing through the skin. So there's a physical reason why I say at least powder every day. But being cautious of all of the thick layers of foundations, especially during the hot months, is only going to create more skin problems.
Well, I think that is a great place to end this conversation. Hopefully, we were able to share information to help men and women take care of their skin during the summer months, from head to toe. You know, make sure those heels aren't looking cracked and crazy.
Guys, get those feet done.
Yeah,
feet.
Look, I'm here for that. I'm here for all of that. So, Dr. Melanie Macklin, thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
No, thank you again.
All righty.
Yes, have a great day. Bye-bye, people. Bye-bye.
That is the Daily Drum for this Monday, June 12th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.